I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture this morning is Mark 13, 24 through 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
Thank you, Connie. For a minute there, I thought I was going to end up reading the scripture. It's kind of scary. But you got it done. Thank you. Yes, scripture is apocalyptic. I don't know if y'all know about apocalyptic literature. If you don't, you might read the book of Daniel or Revelation. That's all apocalyptic. Mark treats us to this short passage to give us his vision of the end times. Or is that what he's inviting us to do? Or is he sending a message of some other kind? Listen again. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. He does tell us that after that suffering, four things will happen. The sun goes dark. The moon will not give light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Four things. That's interesting. Because in the previous nine verses, he tells us about false messiahs and false prophets and says to be alert. Now, in the Navy, we would say that this is high alert. Not standby, be on high alert. But then we go into seeing the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, as well as the angels gather the elect from the four winds. And while this is all very descriptive and scary for some, it seems somewhat worthless when we go to the next paragraph. Because, see, when Connie read that next paragraph about the fig tree, you know, you got to start wondering. Why? Because if we were to take this passage literally, which we should never do, the events described have already happened. Listen again. This generation, Mark's generation, will not pass away until all these things have taken place. That's Mark's generation. Anyone venture to guess how many generations have passed away since Mark's time? They're guessing Mark wrote this around 50 AD. Probably pretty accurate. So if Mark were written around 50 AD, as the scholars believe, and a generation is 30 years, at least according to the dictionary, and it's now 2020, well, you can do the math. Okay, maybe not. Here's a hint, it's a little over 67 generations. Mark said, all this is going to happen before this generation, his time. It's going to happen. So I think it's safe to say the message is not about end times. That's just the dressing. But then we have to go to the turkey, because that's the main meal. After the fig tree, we read these words. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. He leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Nobody knows. But then you have Mark saying it's going to happen before this generation. How do you bring those two together? No one knows, but it's going to happen before the generation. You don't know that. No one knows. Keep in mind, Jesus is telling this story according to Mark, and Jesus says, as to the day or hour, no one knows, not the angels, nor Jesus himself. Only God knows. That being said, why are we being told this? Is it a story to add resolve to our commitment to Christ? To help us understand that we will join Christ in our end times? Perhaps you've heard this story. I don't know if you ever heard of the HMS Resolute. But the HMS Resolute was a Royal British vessel rigged for Arctic exploration. In August of 1853, HMS Resolute got caught in the Arctic ice. Got caught there. Jim knows this story. After staying the winter in the Arctic, the captain of the HMS Resolute ordered the ship to be abandoned and led his crew across the ice to find one of the other ships in exploration. In September of 1855, the ship was found drifting in the Davis Strait by a whaling ship from Groton, Connecticut. The captain re-rigged the spars and sails and arrived at New London, Connecticut on 24 December 1855. In 1856, the HMS Resolute made her trip back to England, but it was not the last time she would see American soil. The Resolute served in the British Royal Navy until 1879, when she was decommissioned and broken up. But that's not the end of the story. In 1880, a desk was made from her timbers and presented to President Rutherford B. Hayes as a gift for rescuing the vessel. It has come to be known as the Resolute Desk and has served many presidents in the Oval Office. But that is still not the end of the story. In 2009, Prime Minister Gordon Brown presented President Barack Obama the framed commission of the HMS Resolute made from timber from another British vessel. And now you know the rest of the story. You see, the Resolute just, it doesn't go away. It's still here. Mark's Jesus wants us to stand firm in difficult times, as did the Resolute. He wants us to remember we are rooted in Him so we may outlive current circumstances. I just want you to know I love hearing children. I think it's great. We may change shape or form, and we may not look like we did in the beginning, but we will live on through Jesus Christ. If we don't know when something is going to happen, but we know it will happen, we should be prepared for its happening. What if you don't? What if you just think something's just so impossible, you don't worry about it? I mean, Jesus is giving us a wake-up call in Mark's words. A wake-up call. How many of you remember 9/11? Was that a wake-up call? We were not prepared, were we? Why? Because it never crossed our minds that someone would have the audacity to attack the number one superpower on their own ground. And so we relaxed. What happened? Should have been aware. We were caught off guard. Jesus says, don't be caught off guard. Don't get so relaxed thinking I go to church and I talk about Jesus and I don't have anything to worry about. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's a friend of mine told me this. In fact, he was one of my two mentors when I came in to ministry. He had a very colorful ministry. It seemed he always got churches where really weird things happened. Unlike here, nothing weird ever happens. But this is the way he told the story. Almost every Sunday morning, he said, I begin my sermon with a cute or funny story. This morning, I started with a sad story. Bob and Betty were two of my dearest friends in Indiana, a strong, loving example of what a married couple should be. However, this couple was always at least 15 minutes late for everything. Church, fellowship dinners, or parties. Bob contracted cancer and died. The funeral was to be in the church sanctuary. That afternoon, the funeral director came to my office all upset. Betty was outside in the limo and would not get out. I went out to the limo expecting Betty to be upset, not wanting to accept the reality and finality of Bob's death. I pleaded with Betty to get out of the limo. She insisted she was not getting out. Finally, clenching her teeth, she looked at me and said, "That man made me late for everything for 45 years because he waited to the last minute to prepare, and I will not be on time for his funeral." That's a true story. When he told me, I was just rolling. I thought that. See, Jesus knew and knows waiting until the last minute is just poor planning all the way around. Therefore, he urges us to be prepared to face difficult times, to prepare for things like 9/11. Stay on your guard. It's not unlike what we're facing now. There's a pandemic. We didn't see it coming, but we were prepared in that we have scientists and we have people who can work on it and find some way of stopping it and immunizing us. He encourages us to stay awake and be alert because such things as COVID-19 are out there, and we must stand firm in our faith and in our diligent efforts not only to survive, but to overcome tough times. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Our scripture today is a scripture warning us not to fall into a spiritual slumber. Spiritually, all too often, we get so comfortable and we think we got all bases covered, we forget to pray. We forget to come to church. We forget that we have a church family. We forget to serve the Lord. That's a spiritual slumber. But he wants us to remain awake and in faith, and to be able to face catastrophic times. Where would you say your spiritual steadfastness is right now? Are you giving in to the pandemic? Or are you staying strong? You see, I hear on TV all the time, people are just getting sick of this. They're so tired of it. They're just all going out now. And then the virus is raging. Because they give in. And they say, I don't know. I'm just so tired of doing what's right that I'm not going to do what's right. Are you waiting until the last minute to prepare yourself spiritually for what the future brings? We hope bad times don't happen. We pray bad times don't happen, but we must be prepared. And that old saying applies, and it has been around for ages. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. And we do hope for the best. We've got to be prepared for the worst. This is what our Lord and Savior is telling us. Stay awake spiritually. Because you don't know. He doesn't even know. Jesus, when he said this, he said, I don't even know. Only God knows. So what are we to do? Stay in the faith. Reach out to one another. Encourage one another to get through this pandemic. Send encouraging messages. Share the love of this church family, not only with the family, but with the world. Spiritual slumber, that's what Jesus is talking about in Mark. And he is telling us that even though Mark put in there, this generation won't pass away, this generation is all generations. All generations need to stay awake and prepare their hearts and their minds for the tough times as well as the good. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come today, we know there's so much going on out in our world that it scares us, and we don't wish to be scared, but sometimes it happens. We ask that you make us spiritually strong, that you fill our hearts with strength and courage to face difficult times. And you help us to be the people that you would have us to be, to do the things that you would have us to do, to glorify you and to raise your name in praise. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message. And we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.